Good morning. Let me see by show of hands if you have had a child go get a driver's license. All right. So our youngest just did it. First off, you have to be 16. You have to have a learner's permit for a year. You need 30 hours of online or classroom instruction, 6 hours behind the wheel with a DDS-approved trainer, 40 hours with your parents or a guardian, including 6 at night. You pass a road test, a road rules test, a road signs test, a vision test. Then you get your license. And for the first 6 months, you can only have immediate family in the car with you. And you can't drive past midnight from like midnight to 5 a.m. So those are all the rules when you want to drive a car at 16 years old. Let me tell you what the test is when you want to take a baby home from the hospital. They walk to the car. This happened with our son. They check to make sure the car seat is properly installed, and then they send you on your way. That is the barrier of entry to take a live human home from the hospital and be responsible for raising that child. That's it. You know, the funny thing about being a father, I mean, technically, if you think about it, is like the barrier to entry is pretty low. I mean, there's technically not a test from a biological sense to become a father. And, you know, there's plenty of men in this world that have fathered children but are not being a father. But to truly father someone else, and I mean that as a verb, not a noun, but to father someone, well, that takes a lot of work. Men, being a Christian and godly father requires intentionality and dedication. Open your Bibles with me. We're going to be in the book of Proverbs, and we're going to be Proverbs 4, and I'm going to start on verse 3. So Proverbs 4, verse 3. When I was a son with my father, tender and my mother's favorite, he taught me and said to me, "Let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom. Get insight. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will keep you. Her is wisdom. Love her, and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom, and whatever else you get insight." In the very beginning, it says, "When I was a son with my father." And then it says, "He taught me." Man, this is not just a suggestion, right? But this is the proclamation of our responsibility as godly men, right? Like this passage opens up when he's acknowledging when he was a son, his father taught him this. Now, all men have some aspect of fatherhood in their lives. It could just be managing employees, and you're acting like a father to those people. It could be mentoring, sharing wisdom, serving others. You can father someone without being a biological father. You can father someone without actually having legal adoption. And we all have fathers. Now, some experiences are better than others, but unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on your circumstances, your father did help shape who you are. And we all have a heavenly father. And I mention this because this message is for everyone, not just someone who has actually become a biological father. Fatherhood is something that only a man can do. Now, I've met plenty of single moms, and that is a tough job. But every child needs a father in their life. And when Joshua declares, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord," he is setting a priority for his family, a spiritual tone, right? He is acting as a head of household. And this is what he's saying: "I don't care what the rest of y'all are doing. I don't care what you're saying. For me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So if we want godly children, we have to be godly fathers. Many men try to make a name for themselves with their career, with their title, with their balance sheet, with their net worth, not realizing their children are really their greatest legacy. And so today I want to share 3 ways that a man should father. And, you know, I was reading this book, Walk Like a Man, written by Jean Mason, and it's 7 biblical directions for manhood. And there's a chapter in here about becoming a father and what it means to actually father someone. The first step, a man should father through Scripture. Because a man who fathers reads Scripture. Ephesians 6:4 says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in training and instruction of the Lord." The key words here are training and instruction. And so when it comes to Scripture, we can't pass down what we haven't taken in for ourselves. So the first step of passing down Scripture is reading it ourselves. Deuteronomy 6:5-7 says this, "Love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today to be on your hearts," and then here's the next verse, "impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up." Translation, talk about it all the time. So the first step is a man fathers through reading Scripture. The second is a man should father by example. Because a man who fathers leads by example. Now, our children might not remember a Bible verse we share with them. Rest assured, they will remember how we act. Because our actions are telling our children what is important in our life. When we look in Genesis, we have Genesis 18. God is speaking regarding Abraham as a father. And he says, "For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about to Abraham what he has promised him." Abraham directed his children towards God by example, and God knew Abraham would lead his family in that way. And so a godly father should model God's word, not just say it. You know, if we say one thing on Sunday and do something different on Tuesday, they will remember that. Leading by example means loving your wife with respect. It means choosing integrity. It means, especially when no one's watching, it means being quick to repent, quick to apologize, quick to forgive, slow to anger. Because as dads, like, we're not called to be perfect, but we are called to be real. And the truth is, many times our children are listening and watching in ways that we don't even notice. When my son was a toddler, he'd sit in the back seat and say, "Dad, that sign says 35, but you're going 43. Trying to explain to him you're keeping up with the flow of traffic. But I had a police officer in the back seat issuing tickets. But the clear intent here is, like, a man should model God's word, right? And then lastly, a man should father through prayer. Because a man who fathers prays. Because men, the truth is, we cannot do it on our own. And God wants us to say to him, to come to him and say, "God, I can't do this without you." So, like, the question I asked myself as I was preparing this, and I ask all of you, is, like, how often are you praying for your children? Philippians 4:6-7 says this, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Praying for children, praying for our children, is a way of giving that over to God. It is an acknowledgement that we need his help. We should pray for their protection, their character, their decision-making, their future spouses, and their hearts. But I would argue that we should not pray alone. Bring in other men to join you in prayer. A few weeks ago, I asked the men at my table to pray with me for one of my children. And it was pretty powerful, but a few of them followed up with me later on in the week. And I knew that at that moment, I was not fathering alone. I had other men helping me father my child. You know, several years ago, I had this young lady working for me. She was about a year and a half out of college. And she turned to me one day and said, "Brian, you are my work dad." Now, honestly, I felt really old at that moment. Because I'd like to think I'm as young as someone that's 23 years old. But then I came to realize, like, what a tremendous compliment that is. I learned later that her biological father had been absent most of her childhood, following her parents' divorce. I didn't know it at the time. Honestly, I was treating her how I would hope someone would treat my own child. So don't underestimate the impact that as men we can have on someone else, many times just being a father-like figure, maybe being the father they didn't have in their life. So in closing, fatherhood is designed to allow men to pass down knowledge and experience from one generation to another. But fatherhood is not just a job. It is a privilege. And we should treat it like a privilege, and we should honor it in everything that we do with our children. Because when we father as a godly father, we share direction and ways to live. God isn't looking for perfect fathers. I would argue we have a room full of imperfect fathers. I am far from a perfect father, but he's looking for faithful fathers. So let that be our goal, that our children not remember us as perfect. Trust me, mine will not. But hopefully they will remember us as godly. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for being our heavenly Father and for modeling for us what unconditional love looks like, what forgiveness looks like, what protection looks like, and help us to model that same behavior for our children and for those other people in our lives that need a father-like figure. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Enjoy your tables.